more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Wednesday. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin, and this is 1320 WILS. Great to have you here. 86 right now, and sunny. Very nice. Tonight, the Lansing City Clerk today deciding not to allow a proposal to license marijuana establishments in Lansing to go forward. It will not be on the November ballot. He will be here to tell us why. Also, a major change in our immigration policy could affect us for generations to come. We'll break it all down. Let's begin, though, with what President Trump did today regarding Russia. He, in fact, did sign legislation that will now put sanctions on Russia. They are already responding, very upset. Boris Zilberman is with us, Deputy Director of Congressional Relations at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Boris, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks. Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
And you've worked on these issues for a long time. You're involved in the in looking at the strategic developments in U.S.-Russia relationship. Well, first of all, the sanctions themselves, how severe are they?
They're multifaceted. First, they codify the sanctions that have been on the books since the 2014 invasion of Crimea. And they also then expand into energy, into cyber issues, and a number of other key kind of sectors for the Russians, including defense and intelligence.
So who's going to be getting hurt by this?
Look, I mean, I think it's going to be certainly some European companies that are doing business with the Russian energy are going to be hurt, but predominantly it's going to be key sectors of the Russian economy that will be further squeezed, and they've definitely been under the gun for the past 3 years as their economy has shrunk.
Okay, so this means what, U.S. companies can't do business with certain sectors in Russia? Is that it?
Correct.
Okay, now the president was not happy with this bill. He said it was seriously flawed. What was his issue with it?
So, I mean, predominantly his issue, and it's a kind of an age-old issue from between the executive and legislative branch. I think predominantly the administration's issue with it was the codification of executive orders, and it significantly hampers the president's ability to just waive sanctions on these matters.
He needs congressional approval to make any changes, right?
Correct. There's a review period, and Congress would have to pass a resolution of disapproval. So it's not. It creates extra hurdles for him in any administration, whether it's Obama or Bush. To that part of it, would have had a similar response.
Yeah. Do you think this is appropriate to sanction Russia?
I think so. From what they continue to do in Ukraine, you still have an active conflict there. This month, July, was one of the deadliest months for Ukrainian soldiers. Over 20 were killed in action. Mm-hmm. What's going on in Syria, the cyber intrusions surrounding the 2016 campaign here in the United States, and their continued support for the North Korean regime, which is now testing ICBMs that could reach certainly Michigan.
Really? How supportive are they of North Korea?
The Trump administration actually, in the past couple of months, have sanctioned Russian entities that are providing business, oil, et cetera, to the North Korean regime. And so the Russians and the Chinese are two key kind of financial nodes that help support the Kim regime.
Okay. What is this going to do? How do you think Russia is going to respond to this?
Look, they've already responded a bit. It's a big flashy number, and I can break it down a little bit more, but they are not allowing 755 quote-unquote diplomats to work at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. If you break that down and look at State Department reporting from 2013, at that point we had about 1,200 people employed at the embassy. Almost 900 of them were Russian nationals. So you're talking about janitors, custodial work, consular services, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So in effect, his response thus far, which has been kind of similar to what his response before was, are actions that actually hurt the Russian people. His counter-sanctions against food imports from Europe hurt his people more than it hurt Lithuania or France.
Interesting. So you're saying Vladimir Putin ended up firing a bunch of Russians? Is that it?
A lot of the people that are going to be out of jobs are going to be actually Russians and not American diplomats, as you or I imagine a diplomat to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the worst thing he could do as a response?
Look, his options are limited, and I think that's why he went to something like that that's flashy. I mean, they've already done a lot of counter-sanctions. We don't have a ton of bilateral trade with them that they could go after that won't hurt them. You know, the worst thing they could do is cut off their energy flows to Europe. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's kind of, you know, that is going to hurt them just as much, since their economy and their federal government is all their income, not all, but about, you know, over half of their federal income comes from energy revenue.
Right.
So there's things they can do, but they don't have a lot of great options that don't come back and boomerang and hurt their economy even more.
Okay, because it was the Syria, I mean, they're in there, it looks like, for good now. North Korea, is that something that you imagine the Russians changing their approach to North Korea?
Look, I think the Russians and the Chinese should both be concerned about a kind of quick destabilization of the Korean Peninsula. They're obviously pretty close to their own, and both share a border with North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an area that ostensibly we should be able to work. But I think the other issues in their relationship, Russia is still the kind of main blocker of any anti-North Korea sanctions at mm-hmm. the UN Security Council. And so, you know, there's things maybe we can do with them.
Okay.
And I think the suggestion would be to the administration is see kind of small baby steps, and can you build trust? Because right now there's certainly a lack of trust in the relationship between the two parties to accomplish
so
much of anything.
You're saying Putin is essentially pro-North Korea, pro-Kim Jong-un?
Certainly been helping the regime, financing, has been backing or opposing any sort of UN Security Council moves that would strengthen sanctions against the North Korean regime.
Mm-hmm.
So he certainly has been facilitating the regime.
Okay. I'm talking to Boris Zilberman with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies here on WILS. Well, the cyber attack issue, what are we expecting from that, from the sanctions to do about that?
Look, I think it's more companies, individuals, government officials that are part of the official government apparatus that conducts cyber operations, and beyond just espionage, but weaponizing this type of information
okay.
that we saw.
Yeah, but they've denied, right? They say they did not do any of this. They did
of
not.
Course, yeah, yes, okay. they have denied everything. Up until they admitted that they did the invasion of Crimea, they said there were no Russian soldiers in Crimea. Then they came out with a documentary on the anniversary of the invasion, basically saying how they did it.
Okay, so is this going to change their behavior, the sanctions in any way, especially with the cyber attacks?
Look, I mean, that's the hope. And I think this is one part, is the pressure and coercive measures. Another part is still engaging with the Russians in a unified way with the Europeans
mm-hmm.
To get them to change course, or certainly to draw clear lines of what is and isn't acceptable. And,
okay.
You know,
your prediction is what? I mean, you've seen Vladimir Putin in action. How's he going to, is this going to change anything for him?
Look, I think he's going to keep going on course. We'll see how these, you know, most of the time with these sanctions, it takes 2 or 3 years for them to really take effect. If you look at Russia sanctions, Iran sanctions, there's a lag between them being put in place and the markets reacting
mm-hmm.
In a real way. So I think it's TBD. But clearly, I think the Russians are in a worse position vis-a-vis the U.S. than they thought would be.
With your expertise in Russia and its relationship with us, what's your assessment? How embedded, how connected was President Trump and his administration to the Russians during the campaign?
Look, there's, you know, as been reported, there were meetings, but there's yet to be any public proof, at least, of any sort of collusion.
Mm-hmm.
But there certainly have been meetings between campaign officials and representatives directly or indirectly of the government.
Yeah, do you think the press has been fair in the way they've been reporting on this on a daily basis?
Well, as you know, the press is a large body, in some more than others. I think that, I mean, there's definitely it's definitely newsworthy,
mm-hmm.
but I think it can be harmful if you overhype the threat, but it's also harmful if you completely underplay the threat.
Yeah.
There's a threat.
But, I mean, it's being covered every day, from what I can tell, 24/7. Is it being overhyped, or was this the biggest deal ever here?
Look, I think it's a big deal. This is definitely a situation that we have not found ourselves in, where an adversary has stolen information from U.S. entities and then weaponized it against our own population. Mm-hmm. So this goes beyond. I mean, Russia has done disinformation, propaganda in the United States, and so on. But this was this crossed a certain line that we have not seen before. Okay. So I think there's cause for concern there.
Okay. And when you see President Trump, he met with Vladimir Putin for several hours. What do you think the real nature of his feelings towards Russia is?
I think that's hard to say. I was not in the room. But look, I think they're trying to figure out a way to have a functioning relationship, and that's important for a number of reasons, not only the ones we've discussed, but the Russians just sent up a Russian and American cosmonaut this past week or the week before. So there's areas that we need to cooperate on, non-proliferation, et cetera, and so it's important to have some semblance of a working relationship, even though we may disagree on 8 out of 10 topics.
It's Boris Zilberman. He is with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies right here on 1320 WILS. Boris, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.